And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. The marriage supper of the Lamb has a very important meaning for each of us. In the marriage supper, we feast only upon the Word of God. The marriage of your consciousness with Christ within the Lamb brings forth your ability to receive directly from the Father His will, His purpose, His action, His love, His truth, so that the Word can become flesh in all that you do. Without this ability to receive of the Father, we are the human race living in a sense of separation. We are not at the feast of the Lamb. Now, everything in our work so far has been a preparation to enable us to reach that level of receptivity in which we not only feel the presence, hear the presence, know the presence, but can, as it were, stand aside to behold the activity of the presence living itself where the world sees us. I, said the Master, have come to bear witness to the truth. And there is no way to bear witness except to come to the supper of the Lamb. This then is what we are faced with at the moment. All of us have marched in various paths toward what we hoped to find as the presence of God, the living waters of truth, the awareness of the infinite nature of being where we stand. We have discovered now that we cannot do this of ourselves. If we limit God to what we in our finite human intelligence can receive, we are truly a branch cut off. The words omniscience for us, omnipotence, omnipresence for us are meaningless if we still linger in the belief that through my human intelligence I can be one with the Father. We are rejecting grace. We are rejecting the Christ teaching itself until there comes a moment of decision in which we know that unless I seek, ask, and knock only for the Christ within, I am not a son of God in my experience, in my life, in my dedication, nor in the fruits of my life. So we look at seek and knock and ask. We see them different than the world has seen them. We seek Christ within. We ask in the name of Christ within. We knock for Christ within. Always, we seek only the kingdom of God. And we learn that the kingdom of God is the Lamb, the risen Christ, the Christ in the midst of our being, awaiting recognition. Always in initiation, there is a death. And there is an individual death and a collective death. The collective death is the end of the world. The individual death is also called the first death. Although actually birth is the first death, in initiation we die to the self. And only in dying to the self are you able to be reborn to the supper of the Lamb. To serve yourself is not to serve God. And really, no one has to tell us when we're serving ourselves and not God. If we take just a moment's pause, we can find out in an instant there that most of our lives are bent upon serving ourself or even our concept of what God ought to like. As if to say, well, certainly God agrees with me that these are the things that I should do. But now we have a higher sense of righteousness achieved only when we step out of self. And those who are unwilling to make this ascension out of self do not enter into the marriage feast with the Lamb. And so we have many discouraged people who have followed their concept of God, who have read all the right books, joined all the right groups, said all the right things, and even done all the good things to their fellow men. But somewhere, the presence of God does not manifest itself in their experience, and it is always because they are not feasting at the marriage supper. They are still in that Tower of Babel called the human mind, ever reaching up to heaven but never reaching it, limiting God to their human intelligence. And so the stress here in this high consciousness of John is that now am I and the Father one. Now is the will of the Father my will. And only now is the grace of the Father my grace, because there is no longer a John. John, the writer of the Gospel, is dead. Christ John is born to feast at the marriage of the Lamb, to receive the true sayings of God, not human interpretations, to drink living waters at the mouth of the Father, not with an intermediary. For many centuries, this world has been limited to intermediaries, men who say, this is the way God wants it, to religions that say, this is the way we see it and there is no other. And even to fine metaphysicians who have seen it their way. But that is not the feast of the Lamb. Your freedom and my freedom is never going to be by putting our faith in any prince, any one who thinks he has the way. There is no such one. The only one is Christ in you. All of our work has been to reach the conclusion within ourselves that unless we, individually, sit at the feet of the Master within, we are listening to a false prophet, and that false prophet can be external to us, or it can be our own limited human mind. I'm quite certain that everyone knows that the purpose of the revelation of John is to bring us all to the place where we are the recipients of revelation, where we, like John, can sit in silence, tuned with the infinite, listening, receiving, being fed, marching forth in his will and purpose, and under the divine government, which is life eternal, not life broken by a parenthesis and then another and then another. So each of us now faces a new resolve if we have not already made that resolve. I am here to learn how to feast at the table of the Lamb. I am here to be meek unto the Christ within. I am here to be that pure at heart which receives the living water, the pure spirit of truth of the Father, knowing that all omnipotence, all omniscience, all omnipresence lies in that spirit of truth, the kingdom of God within. Now in your travels, you may see many wondrous sights. I'm sure you can name 10 beautiful places in this world. You may have seen the Taj Mahal in the moonlight. You may have seen the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. You may have seen the pyramids. Wherever you've gone, you've seen beautiful things, beautiful places, beautiful people. But there is one place more beautiful than all the others. It is your kingdom. The kingdom of heaven on earth. And you must learn how to live in your kingdom, for there is no place else that you can be a king. Your kingdom is the kingdom of God. But only insofar as you live as the Son of God. And now in this 19th chapter, as we reject all that disclaims our sonship, as we refuse to be mortality, materiality, a lump of clay, a passing idea, as we stand fast in identity, we are declaring ourselves to be that Son who lives in the Father and in whom the Father lives. One, I am the Father. And now the entire world will approach you to declare you are not that one. And your function is to, not by words, but by your deeds, to declare, I am that one. It isn't enough to make these declarations about I am. You will find in moments of crisis, they will not hold you up. It isn't enough to read books about I am. It isn't even enough to agree I am. We must learn to be that pure being which beholds no error in this world. I am never beholds error. And just think of the thousands who are running around this earth declaring, I am, I am, I am, while fear is chasing them at the same time. I am never beholds error. And as long as you behold error, you are pushing that feast away. As long as you know more than God, the Lamb's table is not for you. Now let's look at how subtle it is to declare that you know more than God without intending to. in one instant you can prove to yourself that you have unwittingly believed that you really do know more than God. What's wrong in your life? You can think of 10 things, can't you? And then you must ask yourself, does God know about them? And you know the answer. God doesn't know a thing about them, but you do. And there you are. God doesn't know, but you do. Isn't that the story of our human lives? We have accepted that we know what God doesn't know. Whenever you catch yourself knowing what God doesn't know, remember this. If you were supping at the table of the Lamb, you would only know what God does know. Never would you fall into the trap of believing that something you know is possible as reality if it is unknown to God. That takes a great degree of alertness to know that God knows nothing about my grandson or granddaughter or boy or girl in a state of sickness. How can I? If God knows nothing about it, how can I know about it? Except by, at the same moment, declaring that I know more than God. And you know you cannot know more than God. Therefore, if you know what God does not know, what you know must be unreal. If you know that your child is sick, but God doesn't know it, you will have to come to that consciousness which agrees that your child cannot be sick. Now, that might have seemed absurd to you at one day. It might have even seemed absurd to you 20 chapters ago. But not now. Now you know that God, being too pure to behold iniquity, the Son of God is too pure to behold iniquity, and you, in declaring iniquity present, are declaring you are not the Son of God. How strange that we would cut off our own kingdom through ignorance. For the moment you see imperfection in this world, you are declaring that you see with eyes not like God sees, not like Christ sees. And you have just made a second life for yourself. And where are you? You're in a dream. There is no second life. The only life there is God. How can you see evil? How can you experience evil except in a second life? And now the feast says, come, sup with me. If you want the truth, here it is. But first, renounce the belief in a second life. Renounce the belief in even the possibility of error. Oh, you say, I can't do it. My child is really sick. Fine. You can reincarnate and start all over again. The Father's perfectly willing for all those who are not ready to enter the kingdom of God to take as much time at the moment as they wish. We are all given that opportunity to wallow in our mortality as long as we wish. But suppose I change my song. Father, my child appears to be sick, and my doctor says my child is sick, and my child's temperature is high, and the poor little dear is pale and weak, but I'm sure that if you knew about this, something would be done, and you're not doing a thing. I'm therefore sure you know nothing about this. And I am therefore prepared to say that whoever knows something about this is under the impression that they know more than God. They must be wrong. I can declare truthfully that every medical diagnosis ever made since the world began is a declaration of knowing more than God. And it must be wrong, for the simple reason that God is all, and God is perfect. What is there then that is imperfect? That consciousness which is disconnected from God, which does not know the Father aright. And so we have been limiting ourselves to these segments called human life, because we have been unable to know the Father aright. Whom to know aright is life eternal. You cannot declare evil on this earth. You cannot declare sickness on this earth. You cannot declare imperfection on this earth and feast at the table of the Lamb. You must purify. And there are some who have purified, who have denied themselves. Who have found Christ within, which is picking up their cross. Who have crucified the sense of self which says, I know that there's something wrong. I know more than God. They have withheld their human judgment and have been led to righteous judgment. They have withheld their human will and have been led to the divine will. They have withheld all criticism and condemnation and have been led to that glory of forgiveness in which they could see the infinite invisible kingdom of God, which alone is reality, which alone is present, which is all that is. Now, we all have this same opportunity. And there are some who are now supping at the table of the Lamb because of it, having denied their will, having come above the testimony of the senses, having reached that high consciousness which can say, Father, whatever you see, I see. Whatever you know, I know. I can see no more and know no more and do no more. And then you begin to feel that presence expressing, teaching, guiding, leading, feeding, opening the way. Bringing higher into your consciousness the presence of the Christ. And then lo, the feast. The word, the voice, the living presence of the Spirit, the freedom, the glory, the truth, all in one, moving through you. Calling you a true and faithful servant. We've all had those moments. Are they to remain mere moments or our permanent dispensation? Now John says, go higher. Much higher. Move into that level of awareness which is dominion. Not dominion of a human being, for no human being has dominion over the fire and the flood. That dominion which is reality realized. You know, in India, they have the fakers. Presto, change-o, and there's a banana tree. And you can even go up and eat the banana. It's a kind of a magic. But there are others who can do this. And there are others who will do this. And it won't be magic at all. There is a level of life in which we produce our own food instantaneously. You haven't found it in the Bible because it wasn't necessary. And when you do it, as you will someday, these words won't be remembered. But you will do it because we are really all self-reliant. Within us is the fullness of being. And you will be able to do it in a very strange way. Instantly, you will produce the food that you need without a garden. The external garden will be an inner garden. And you will do it because you will then understand the principle of no time. You won't be doing magic. But at another level, you will merely be realizing the presence of the Father. Yes, it will be like the loaves and fishes that appeared for Jesus. For this is the activity of Christ in each of us at a level of complete purification when time is no more. And it is not magic, it is merely the revelation of the presence of every need fulfilled. It is the realization of the finished kingdom on earth. That is why some can do it now. But not visibly to human eyes. You would have to be in the spirit to see it. And this power to manifest the presence of God is part of the expression of dominion. But more, it is the revelation that where you stand is an invisible, present, finished kingdom of God. And the Lamb within you, at whose table you feast, is always walking in that finished kingdom. That is why when you are one with the Lamb who walks in the finished kingdom can reveal to this outer self the presence of every quality of God as it is needed. The Christ walks in the kingdom of God as the living Son of God. And every so-called miracle then becomes the fact of life. So that whatever may have been considered impossible to the human sense of things now becomes a normal dispensation from the divine into the visible through Christ. There are no limitations. There is no human mind to set up a concept, a fence, an outline, a channel. There is only Christ expressing through one who has been crucified to self. If we stress this overly at the moment, it is because too many are satisfied with a level of what they consider truth. And they find in that acceptance of a level, they are shortchanged. It doesn't work out as they expected. There are no levels. There is only truth. We might as well go all the way now and discover that the life of God is not the life of a human being. When you see the boys go forth to war and don't come back, when you see pictures of battlefields, when you read about these airplane wrecks, when you read about college boys who are shot by the police, when you read about these things, you must know that the life of God has not been shot. The life of God has not been removed. The life of God is not in a person killed on a battlefield. And that is why the person can be what is called killed. I'm asking you to face this today, that the life of God is not in a person. There is no person on this earth who can claim that my life is the life of God. And point to his form and say, right in here is the life of God. You cannot do it. It would not be true. It is important to know this because while you are functioning from the level of a person in this form, deluding yourself, even in the tacit assumption that the life of God is in your form, you are pushing life away. We were once told not to play these tapes for just anybody, and you can see why. We're not going to leave the revelation of St. John without the total truth, the Christ truth, that when you are told that Christ within you is your hope of glory, it really doesn't mean that Christ is within you at all. You can't limit Christ to within you. But gently, the Spirit is leading you to seek Christ within you so that you won't seek fulfillment out there. And then you must realize that Christ is not within you at all. Never was. When a child dies, what happens to Christ within the child? Does the Christ within depart the body? That's pretty old-fashioned theology, isn't it? The Christ within was never within at all. Everything that happens to a human form is a denial of the Christ within. For if Christ were within the form, you can be sure that form would ever be perfect. Now then, what is being revealed to us? Christ is not within our form. God is not within our form. But God is life. Can you accept that life of God is not in your form? Most people would throw up their backs and say, I cannot. I'm asking you to see that you must learn that it is the truth. The life of God is not in your form. And until you can see that, you will not be answering the truth when you say, well, look who died out there. What happened to the life of God in that form? It wasn't there. You must face that. And that's why everyone on this earth perishes, because the life of God isn't in their form. But they always stay in the belief that they are in the form, and they are not. God is life, and if the life of God isn't in your form, you are not in the form if you would be life. You cannot be in that form and be life too. I and the Father are life. Life is never in your form, and therefore you can never be in your form. You must be somewhere else. And as difficult as this sounds, you must see that life is God. God is all. God is not in your form, therefore life is not in your form. And yet, you, in your reality, are the life of God. But it is not in your form. Try to find a place where life is not. There is no such place. And yet everywhere you look, you can see forms that are not complete or whole, forms that will perish. The life of God isn't there. Or the life of God only is there, and the forms are not there. And you must make up your mind. Life not being in form, and life being all, you must see that the form is never there. This is the difficult part of the teaching. The presence of life means the absence of form. They are never one within the other. There isn't life and physical form. And until you have practiced this within yourself for some time, you will be traveling under the assumption that the life of God in me is supporting me. And you will be making the error of duality. You must come over that hurdle to the realization that the life of God in you is not supporting you, that all there is of you is the very life of God itself. That is your name, the life of God. And that life is not in the form, and it is not the form. And then you will come above the belief in form. And then you will sup at the table of the Lamb. I'm sorry it sounds so long and drawn out, but the world has passed it by for many centuries, always in some half-truth, in some momentary truth that seems to satisfy, and always finding the truth had really eluded them. Whereas the fact is that only God is life, and God is not matter, and therefore matter is not. Life cannot be in matter for the simple reason that there is no matter in God. Now, in the course of Revelation, we have discovered first that mortal mind, the dragon, is the cause of all the appearance of evil in the world. And if you remember, the dragon was cast out of heaven. The higher self of us became aware that mortal mind was a deceiver. It was actually the god of this world, as Paul phrased it, and as Jesus phrased it, a liar from the first. And as mortal mind was cast out of heaven, the next phase began on earth, at this level of human consciousness. And that was to understand the non-reality of matter and mortality, which are the two delegates of mortal mind. Mortal mind manifests through our belief in matter and mortality. And so on earth we began to understand that matter is not of God, and mortality is not of the immortal Father, and these two liars were then exposed. And so those were two phases of the warfare. But there was still a third victory to be attained. And the third victory was this. Even though we had some knowledge of the non-reality and non-power of matter and mortal mind, there was still that belief in us, while mortal mind had been exposed, there was still that remaining belief in separation from God. So thoroughly had we been conditioned through the centuries that we still had the belief that God and I are two. And so the third warfare, the final victory, is still to come in these remaining chapters. And that victory must be in our consciousness. We must know that the invisible deceiver is the world mind. Its method of deception is through physical forms, material forms of this world, and our belief in the reality of that which dies. And finally, the last delusion, or as Paul put it, the last enemy to be overcome, death itself. For death is born of the belief that we are separate from life. If life and you are one, death is overcome. And life and you cannot be one while you are in a sense of mortal material form. Nor can you fill that mortal material form with life. So the awakening from mortal mind, materiality, mortality, and separation from God, all these are part of the crucifixion, releasing you from every idea, every belief, every concept, every form, every graven image in the mind that has persuaded you that the life of God is not your only being. Until all beliefs in everything unlike God fall away and you stand revealed as the life of God. Now when we talked about those who someday will manufacture exactly what they need to eat instantly, it was the same as saying, if someday you're going to discover you are the life of God, you don't have to wait for that discovery. Now I am. Now is the kingdom of God. If the life of God is all, it is now. Now are you the life of God. Now are we the sons of God. Whatever ye shall ask in my name will be given. Seek, knock, ask for my name, And so when you accept that all you could ever be and all you ever were, in spite of what it appeared, is the pure life of God, then you are on your way to stepping out, becoming separate from the world of illusion. You are awakening from the dream, the myth of a mortal material self that must keep reincarnating and reincarnating in the flesh, ever suffering the opposites of good and evil. Life I am. And though the world deny it, though the senses deny it, though every appearance deny it, God declares it, and therefore it is so. To uphold that you are life is to reject all that denies it. Instead of flowing with the tide of human opinions which says there is sickness, no. God is life, life is all, there is life. And that which you see there as sickness is not there. I am life. My neighbor is life. Life is all there is. That life which I accept to be my life is the life of all that appears on earth. Just as the illusion of form camouflages that life where I stand, the illusion of form camouflages that life where everyone stands, where a forest grows, where a river flows, where a mountain rises. There is the invisible life. And all around you, everywhere, life is singing itself, clapping its hands. And your recognition of it, your acceptance of it, is the consciousness of Christ. Your rejection of all that denies it is the integrity that stands on the consciousness of Christ. And this makes you fit to sit at the table of the Lamb. He who does not deny Christ as his identity, that he is the life of God, that all around him is the life of God, as far as the eye can see and beyond, he sits at the table of the Lamb. And he is fed only the Word of God. And that Word is the power of God. And that individual is being prepared for the judgment day. For in that judgment day, only those who have feasted at the table of the Lamb are bidden to enter the kingdom of God. Always the world has tried to turn away from the message of Christ, hoping to just take a smattering of it. Always the theologians of the world have given us the great pretense that human morality is fulfilling the will of God in full. And their judgment day has been a reward in some far-off place. Never has there been a willingness to stand and face the fact that we have all been through many, many, many lifetimes. There was a day, in fact, when your father stood with you and said, "Son, I've made you a king in my kingdom, and it is your kingdom, but you're going on a long journey now. I'm going to send you through your kingdom, right from the roots up. I'm going to send you through your kingdom 7 times 7, and then 7 times 7 again. I'm going to send you through every day of your kingdom. You're going to appear in forms you never knew you had. You're going through 7 heavens. And the first is a very, very low heaven. You won't even be a human being or an animal. You're going through material self. You're going through the mineral stage, the vegetable stage, the animal stage. And one day you're going to arrive at the 4th day. It's called Earth Day. And in that 4th day, you're going to have what is called a human body. You won't remember a word I've said. You're going to think you and I have nothing in common. You're going to think there is no God, perhaps. You're going to wonder what your purpose is in that Earth Day. But try to remember that I can never leave thee. And always seek I. Ask for I. Knock for I. For I am always there, and I will answer. I am the way. And when the world tells you that there is evil, again seek I, and I will show you my garden, where only perfection is. I will take you into the infinite invisible. I will take you by a way called Christ. Always you will be my son. And if you will remember that nothing can change you from being the life of God, you will finally come to that 7th heaven. Of pure being, where you step out of all false sense of life into the One, returning to your Father's house. That is your journey. And you will always be a perfect soul in that journey. If you let yourself fall down to a mental being, you will find yourself in the process of reincarnating more than you wish. You will be in what is called a bottomless pit, the reincarnating human self, ever returning to mortality because it cannot rise into accepting its immortal self. Now, the 20th chapter, here comes an angel with a key to that bottomless pit. And he has a chain. And John sees this angel come down from heaven with a key. And the bottomless pit is the reincarnating mortal self. That belief in matter. And the key is going to be the testimony of Jesus Christ, who said, "I am come to bear witness to the truth." That will be the key. And the chain will be your link to the infinite. The chain will be the action of that testimony. The testimony of the Christ in you is the key to the bottomless pit of mortality. Christ in you is the chain to the infinite Father. Christ in you shows us that the bottomless pit of material selfhood, of lifespan after lifespan after lifespan, lived in a sense of apartness, this continuity of the lie about God is broken by the testimony of Christ, which bears witness only to the Father. And so Christ in you, just as Christ in Christ Jesus bore witness to truth, releases you from human judgments, unrighteous judgments, those beliefs which are dictated from the level of the senses. And then you too are riding on the white horse called faithful and true. Way, way back in Revelation there was a white horse, and we all rode that white horse. And as we rode out with our armor, with our spear, even wearing a crown of victory, we rode out with the belief that we were going to conquer matter. We went out to conquer. But there's nothing out here to conquer. The minute you go out to conquer, you are denying the allness of God. What will you conquer, God? And so this fellow on the white horse, our old consciousness, he went out to conquer because he believed in duality. He believed there was God in himself and God in 3 billion more, and God in a forest and God in an ocean and God in planets and God in everything else, but there's only God. He wasn't denying himself. He accepted the evidence of the senses. But now, wiser, having received the word, illumined, you ride on the white horse of Christ, the faithful and true. Because Christ alone has risen above the belief in a world that must be conquered. Christ in you has no world to conquer. Christ in you is all there is. The allness of God is upheld by Christ in you. I have overcome the belief in a world. I, says the Christ, know that there is only the kingdom of God in which I live. There is no dual universe. There is no world of human and physical and material effects. The illusion of this world does not hypnotize the true and faithful witness on the white horse called Christ. And so in his vesture, on his thigh is written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Christ in you. Because only Christ in you knows God is all. King of Kings, the Father. Lord of Lords, the Son. Father and Son, one. The beginning and the end, one. All one. And this one, you must accept to be the one that you are. Now then, we're in a form, in appearance, but Christ is not in this form. life of God is not confined to a form. The Father within is not confined within. The Father within is also without. The unlimited life of God, the only life, is not confined to form, is not within form. And until you are practicing that life which is not within form, until you are a son of solitude, one who lives in the silence, until you can feel the actual substance of that life, until you are willing to live above the level of your mind, released unto your soul, you will not become aware of that life, which is the life that you are. We do not feast at the table of the Lamb with the human mind. We feast there through the activity of our soul. And that activity is not performing for you while you insist on dwelling at the mental level. Your surrender of the mental activity, your deep contemplation, your release of the thinking mind for periods of silence, not for the purpose of seeking some good in this world, or asking for good in this world, or knocking for good in this world, but simply to rest the mind which releases the pure, undiluted activity of your soul. Only through soul activity does God feed you His truth. And only through soul activity do you realize the life of God, I am. Now I know, as you know,